Well, I thought tonight I would strive to give you some words of encouragement. And as you know, anytime that we are preaching, bringing a lesson up here, we are speaking to ourselves as well, first and foremost. So this is a lesson for not only for you guys, but it's also for me to remember that God is always with us. I've titled my lesson this evening, "Our God is Able to Deliver." Now, we'll go back and revisit some of the scriptures. I'm going to use those as my 4 points. These are scriptures, there's many scriptures that we can cite. That will help us and help us remember. But the challenge that we have as living in a wicked, evil world and living in a society that is so influential on us as human beings, we are so impressionable by the things that we see and hear and by what our society is doing. And it's very easy to get caught up in what the world is doing, and it's also easy to get discouraged because of either physical challenges, whether it be mental or an actual health issue, or whether it's harassment from the world. Now, I believe, this is something that I hope doesn't happen, but the persecution is going to increase. Now, there's a scripture in First Timothy. Everybody turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, I believe. That one second. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "Yea, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them." And that brings me into my first point as we read the scripture in your hearing. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 7 through 13. Let's turn over to that passage. The Apostle Paul is giving words of encouragement to the young Timothy. And he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. But has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to the light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day." So we have to remember who we have believed, what we have believed. And we have to know who our God is. Do you really know and understand who God is and what he has done for us? That's something that we need to constantly ask ourselves as we live the Christian life. I think sometimes when we get discouraged, it's very beneficial to us to recall and recite what God has done for us, and just start listing, as many things that we possibly can. And before we're done, I think we're going to be encouraged by the things that we have listed and the things that we have cited. So, do you really know who God is? If we don't, this will be evident in our faith and the way we carry ourselves and what we believe, what drives us, what motivates us to get up in the morning and go to work and support our families, and what motivates us to come here, what motivates us to live the Christian life according to God's command. So we need to familiarize ourselves with who God is by constantly studying His Word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Now I want to make a point. The lessons that we just got through studying in Judges, I know it was kind of gory, wasn't it? It was pretty tough reading. But it is there to remind us we can go and learn one of the main things that I'm amazed by every time I read that book is that how patient God was. God is a very patient God and loving, long-suffering God. And when we read books like the Book of Judges and the Old Testament, we can understand and see how patient He was. Now, just imagine what the Israelites did when they were in the wilderness and they saw the presence of God. They didn't see Him face to face, but they saw His presence. They heard His voice. And they still decided after Moses went up into the mountain and he was gone for a while, they said, "This guy ain't going to come back. You know, let's create an image for ourselves and create our own God." Just how soon do you forget? You know, the presence of God is right near you, and you still are falling and going astray. Romans 10:17. I'm not going to turn there, but I just want to remind us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible is the mind of God revealed, and God and shares characteristics about God throughout the Bible. So especially in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And if we want to know more about God, read the Book of Psalms. It has a lot of, I'm going to cite a couple of Psalms here if we have time. So we need to know who we believe. That's 2 Timothy 1:7-13. Our second point is taken from Ephesians 3:13-21. God can do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond anything that we request of Him. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I won't read the whole thing there because for the sake of time. 3:13. I'm going to pinpoint verse 20. "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Now, something that we need to realize is that God is our helper. He's our refuge. So we shouldn't feel reluctance or hesitance to go to Him and ask Him for something. Now, if we are thinking that it's okay to, you know, we shouldn't be selfish in our petitions. We shouldn't be asking Him for the next lottery ticket number or Mercedes-Benz or $1 million house. But we, you know, again, it's according to our needs. It's according to our hurts, the things that are bothering us, what's on our mind. Those are the things that we should be praying about. But just remember that God can do exceptionally above what we ask him in our prayers. Very important to remember that. So he can do exceedingly abundantly. The Bible tells us to seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. That's in Matthew. So we need to seek God out. We need to let him know what's on our mind. And talk to him. We can talk to him at any time. But you know why? Because he's there with us all every single day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So please, when we pray, don't hesitate or be reluctant to pray and ask God for help. Now turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 34. We'll read a few verses out of that psalm. This psalm is talking about the Lord delivering. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. O, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. I'm going to stop right there. It's a good psalm. Read the whole thing in your spare time. It's a good psalm to remember about how the Lord is able to deliver on all of his precious promises. My third point, real quick, is Daniel chapter 3. This is the encounter with, as we know, Daniel was in captivity with the other two fellow Jewish servants that were servants of King Nebuchadnezzar. And starting at verse 13, there was a servant who told on these three men that they were not bowing to this image, this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had created, this graven image. And so this servant told Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel wasn't bowing and paying homage to this God. And so we see in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar in rage and fury gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so that they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you have not served my gods or worshiped the gold image which I have set up? And if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery and symphony with all kinds of music, and you shall fall down and worship the image which I have made good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now we know what happened. They were placed in that fiery furnace, and we see Daniel's response In verse 17, if this is the time, if this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve our gods, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. This is an example of the kind of faith that we should exemplify. To understand that God, whatever situation we're in, God can bring us through it. And if he doesn't, as Daniel concluded, I'm saved. I'm going to be taken care of either way. That's the kind of faith that we need to have in God, the kind of faith that Daniel had. We must be courageous in our faith, and we must act. So if we have the type of faith that Daniel exemplified, this is a courageous type of faith that will act in the face of trials, in the face of temptations. When facing temptations, we should be able to resist the temptation because of the faith that we have. Turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and I'll give you the verse here in a minute. It says in verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, when we encounter temptation and we endure the temptation, it's going to strengthen us, and God is going to bless us. When we're tested with all types of trials, like sickness, someone challenging us spiritually, these are some of the challenges that we're going to, especially the physical suffering. There's a lot of physical suffering going through this congregation right now, and many questions being asked as to why. Why is this happening to me? And as I already read 2 Timothy 3:12, all who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. We remember that the Apostle Paul asked for an ailment to be taken away from him, and God decided not to. He said that his grace is sufficient. So let me roll on to my last point here, because we're running out of time. Fourth and final scripture is Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. Pretty close to Hebrews already. Hebrews 13, 1 through 6. And I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. To prompt us and remind us, therefore him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for such sacrifices God is well pleased. But I actually want verses 5 and 6. I read 15 and 16. Sorry about that. Verse 5 of chapter 13 of Hebrews. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? So those are two key scriptures we need to remember. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we need to remember that promise. So God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. He's all powerful. And he is everywhere. God has never failed to keep a promise. He has promised an inheritance in heaven if we uphold our part of the bargain. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and we'll end right there. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, 3 and chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So that scripture is telling us that that inheritance, that promise of eternal life, has been preserved and reserved for us in heaven. So these are the things that we need to be thinking about as I made my 4 points tonight. God is able to deliver, and God is always with us. So if you're subject to the invitation tonight, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to hear the gospel of Christ, to believe, to repent of your sins, to confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and to be buried in a watery grave of baptism, to have all your sins washed away, and then after you do those steps, you'll be added into the God's kingdom, his church. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, please ask that you come and respond as we stand and as we sing.